Life Unrehearsed on CJAD 800. Brought to you by Marco Vendramini of IG Private Wealth Management. MarcoVendramini.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Life Unrehearsed, a show about the ins and outs of family life. So your life isn't going exactly as planned. Well, you're not alone, and we're here to help out. My name is Matt Delvecchio, specializing in free retirement home search and senior transition support.
And I'm Corey Sirota, clinical social worker and psychotherapist specializing in grief and loss. Coming up today on the first half of our show, are you the best version of yourself? If you don't know how to answer that question, no worries. Melissa Dawn, she's the author, she's a speaker, and she's the founder of CEO of Your Life, and she's going to teach us how to become that person. I cannot wait.
Very interesting, Corey.
Matt, you are a rock star when it comes to driving. I cannot believe. You know, you've heard, he drives me in almost every time we do the show together. And I thought, I don't know how this is going to go today. And you just, like a superstar.
We actually made it in record time. Yeah. The roads were not bad, greasy. But we come in from the West Island every show. And we like to do live shows when we can. And it was okay. You just got to be careful. Pay attention. And don't drive too fast. It was a heck of a lot better where I was last week, though, Corey. I was in Whistler, B.C. with my son. Trip of a lifetime, really a bucket list trip. And Vancouver was 8 and 9 degrees. Whistler was around 1 and 2 degrees, and had a few days of skiing. And very grateful for that. And you know, we are very grateful for our second half, Corey. Mm-hmm. You absolutely don't want to miss the second half of our show, as we have Stanley Cup champion and author of the best-selling book Playing with Fire, Theo Fleury. Most of you know Theo Fleury. He holds nothing back as he talks about his troubled past, the trauma he experienced as a victim of sexual abuse, and his incredible advocacy work for those with mental illness, addiction, and trauma victims. Corey, that's going to be after the 4:30 news.
Wow, I look forward to hearing that as well. So let me start, get us going. We are very excited to have in studio with us Melissa Dawn. She's a certified life coach and business coach. She's the founder of CEO of Your Life. She's also a motivational speaker. She's trained in energy, essentially an energy practitioner. She practices intentionality, and best-selling author of I Attract What I Am. She's here with us in studio today to talk about how to help us be our best version of ourselves. Welcome to the show, Melissa.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
So I think just to start out, how does one even begin to do this? So I suspect there's a story behind this. So can you please share that with us?
Well, it was just about 9 years ago. I still remember I was sitting on my wooden living room floor with my hands between my head saying, like, how the heck did I get here? And I had just had my second divorce. I had primary custody of my 4-year-old son. And I was in a situation at work where I had to change jobs ASAP. So, like, everything was happening at the same time, and I felt stuck. I didn't know what to do. I knew I had to change. I was responsible for my son. I wanted to be the best mom possible, so I couldn't, like, stay as a victim in this place. And somebody had recommended that I try a life coach, and I didn't even know what a life coach was at that point. So I went on Google. I did a few searches, and I came across a really great one. And within 6 months of life coaching, my life had totally turned around. She had started doing exercises and teaching me all these things that truly to me are things that I believe we should be taught in school, and we're not. And I was sharing all these exercises with people around me, and I saw their lives starting to transform as well. And I couldn't believe how just a few basic, simple tools and change of mindset can be so transformative. And I said, you know what? At the time, I was VP marketing. And I said, I want to help as many people as I can become the CEO of your life. You know, help them create the lives that they really, really want, and let them know that it's possible. No matter what situation you're in, you can change it around. And that's when I went to the Coaches Training Institute, and I became a certified life coach. And slowly, I started to build my business. And within 6 months, I had left my VP marketing job and was coaching full time.
That's Melissa Dawn. She's the founder of CEO of Your Life. She's talking to us to be your best self. And that's a perfect example. And you know, you're leading by example. First of all, Melissa, thank you for coming into studio. You're coming from the South Shore. You brought your family with you in here with the studio. So first of all, thanks for being a trooper. And it does show a sign of your character and perseverance. And we do appreciate that. And you've talked about, Melissa, you know, everyone has a purpose in life and has a unique value. It's one thing saying it, but it's another thing trying to recognize it. A lot of people don't even realize it. I think I fit into that category as well. I was like you, Melissa, corporate person for many, many years. And the last few years, my wife and I have just switched gears and helping moms and dads transitioning in from homes into retirement residences. And we know we have found our calling. It's just you wake up every morning inspired and motivated. But it took an event like switching like that for me to even realize it. I had no idea. So how can, everyone's got it in them. So how can we help someone even begin to identify their purpose in life?
That's a really good question. I remember one of the first exercises I did with my coach that helped me a lot and that I'm doing with my clients today as well, is she said for 3 weeks, write down everything that makes you happy and what makes you unhappy. Mm-hmm. And you don't even realize everything in a day that makes you happy and unhappy until you actually start writing it down at night. And then as you're writing it down, you're starting to see patterns. And I remember when I was doing it, I started to see the times I was happiest was when I was talking to people and I was having deep conversation. You know, it wasn't like doing marketing. It was like, tell me like what's going on, and not just like superficially, but really like, let's have real conversations here. And the things I didn't like were, you know, getting involved in marketing campaigns and all this, that I liked my job, but it wasn't fueling me. But having deep conversations and listening to people and helping them out, I could do it all day long, even if I didn't get paid. So having done this exercise really, really helped me become aware of what fueled me. So I highly recommend this exercise to everybody. And you'll just start becoming more aware. So then you can see, okay, I need to do more of this, then I need to do less of this. And that's the very beginning. You got to follow the threads of what really fuels you.
Fair enough. It's actually an interesting activity. I think I'm going to go and try it. Although I feel like I'm very motivated in the work I do.
I think so.
Could you tell? Could
definitely
you tell?
No, one of the most motivated people.
So that to me sounds, what you suggested sounds like a strategy. Can you tell us some other strategies that you teach?
Well, it's all about the person. Everyone is unique. Everyone has their own unique values, their own unique purpose. So it's about, first of all, also getting clear on where you're at right now. You know, a lot of people don't want to deal with things. They put things under the carpet, and then a life event happens, like a divorce or a death or something shocking. And then you're forced to go and revisit everything that you put under the carpet. So I start with taking an assessment, like how is your romantic life? How is your physical environment? How is your career, your financial situation, your spiritual growth? Looking at all areas of your life, because when we're clear with where we're at, then we know what we can work towards. And not only do we have to realize where we're at, but we have to accept where we're at. If we're resisting it, then we can't move forward. So that's one of the steps, is to get clear on that. And then to get clear on who we are, really. So there's different exercises I do with different people, but one of the core exercises is how to get clear on your core values. Because when you're clear on your core values, it helps you make decisions. You know, is this the right job for me? Is this the right partner for me? And it's even great for business. Like, how do I brand myself? I brand myself around my values. So there's an exercise that I have. Actually, listeners can get it online. It's at ceoofyourlife.life/values to help you get clear on them.
So to understand those core values, which makes sense, and that could be different for many different people. You almost have to personalize it to yourself.
Exactly.
You're listening to Life Unrehearsed, and that's Melissa Dawn. She's the founder of CEO of Your Life, and she's talking to us about how to be your best self. You've talked about a couple of strategies, Melissa. Very intriguing. You know, we're approaching traffic soon, but we'd like to for you to stay with us, and we're going to talk about when you get back. The biggest mistake you might be making when it comes to listening to the advice of others, and it's one that can totally derail your life. So let's head out to the CJD Traffic Center with Lauren Glazer, and we're going to hear all about that when Melissa comes back.
Life Unrehearsed on CJAD 800. Brought to you by Marco Vendramini of IG Private Wealth Management. MarcoVendramini.com.
I'll swim in a sea of approval. I will.
Welcome back. You're listening to Life Unrehearsed. I'm Corey Sirota with my co-host Matt Del Vecchio, and we are talking with Melissa Dawn, founder of CEO of Your Life, and she's teaching us how to be our best self. Right before traffic, we asked Melissa a really important question about what the biggest mistake people might be making when it comes to listening to the advice of others. And in fact, what we talked about off air was that mistake can actually totally derail their life. So share with us what that is, please.
A lot of people look at what works for others and they say, well, this person was successful for it, so I'll do the same thing. And I had made that mistake too, like following different coaches. I was like, well, these coaches are millionaires and they're doing super well, so I'll be doing the same thing. And I had hired a coach and she was like telling me like what templates to use and what to say, but it didn't feel authentic to me. So if something doesn't feel right for you, if something doesn't feel authentic, it means it's not your path. And just because it was successful and it worked for someone else, it doesn't mean it works for you. So always tune into your inner voice and what feels right, even if logically it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point. And let's face it, social media has a big influence on this. And if I look on social media or Facebook, you see those that are posting their wonderful lives and their wonderful vacations. And it's, oh boy, it's, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, right? You want to be. But I also see a lot of playing the role of the victim. Through social media. So you tend to have these two corners. And so I see this playing the role of a victim as being a concern. You talk about that, in fact, Melissa. So how can that actually hurt you?
Well, I always say don't be the victim in your story. Be the hero in your story. Because let's face it, every single one of us has had something terrible happen to us, and we can all point the finger. You know, we could say, oh, it's my parents, it's my partner, it's my teacher. But really, we can't always handle the circumstances. Like, we don't always choose the circumstances, but we can handle how we react to them. So how do you want to show up? So decide, how do I want to show up? What do I want to create? And what can I do? What impact do I want to have here? And how can I change it? And you can always change the situation around. You have to realize that you are powerful enough. You are the CEO of your life, and you can change any situation around.
So that's so, no truth has ever more been spoken when you speak, when you do articulate that and help people. We could only integrate it. And I think trust has a big factor to play in that. And I know that you speak about that in your book. You talk about trust in divine timing. What do you mean by that?
Well, as we go through different difficulties in life, you know, you might lose your job, you might lose a relationship. We tend to lose trust. It's our default mechanism. We just tend to lose trust, and it's normal that we go through that. But then you also have to remember the miracles that do happen when you do meet that special person, or you do have that great job, or something amazing happens. And those miracles make life worthwhile. So trust in those miracles. If you're following what you love, if your thoughts, your words, and your actions are aligned with your passion and you keep on moving towards it, things will work out. You just have to trust that they will.
So trust is absolutely a big factor. This is Melissa Dawn, CEO of Your Life, and teaching us how to be your best self. Melissa, I mentioned I was with my son in Whistler. We had some good father-son bonding and some great skiing. And, you know, he likes his studies. He's really into that. But we had some good life experiences out on the road. And sometimes I explained to him, sometimes you just got to go with your gut. You know, we had to drive in rainy, snowy conditions to go see a Vancouver Canucks game. We knew it was a big drive. You know? And sometimes you got to go with your gut. It might be a bit risky. And in fact, that's a big part of being CEO of your life. You're a big proponent of going with your gut, aren't you?
Exactly. Because you have to remember that 98% of our thoughts are not ours. So what does that mean? Mm. It comes from our family. It comes from our teachers. It comes from the people around us. So there's really just 2% of our thoughts that belong to us. So how can you know if you have in your head is everything you were taught, but inside is your feelings. It's your path. So you need to think less and feel more.
So true.
So as soon as something's feeling wrong, sometimes you're like, but this doesn't make logical sense. Like, logically, right. It makes sense. Well, why is that gut feeling going off? There's a reason. It's giving you a warning, and pay attention to it. Don't ignore it. When you push it down, things in life will happen in a way that it's going to come back up. So just listen to it.
So it's bound to go somewhere, right? And that's certain. I certainly share that sentiment when I work with people with grief counseling, and I tell them that it's got to go somewhere, right? So
exactly.
This is all the challenges that we face. Life is going to put challenges in front of you. How you navigate them is very much up to you. And so how would you notice what red flags are that come up within the context of this perhaps lack of trust or lack of listening to your gut? What would those red flags be?
I don't know. You could be in making a business decision, or you could be at work and your boss tells you do this, and in your gut feeling, you're like, this doesn't feel right, but my boss is telling me to do it. Well, speak it up. Say, you know what? This doesn't feel right. Like, let's look at what else is possible. Don't ignore it. Like, just speak what you're feeling. Like, bring it out so that you can have another possibility and another option. Because if you just keep quiet, nothing will change.
Yeah, very, very true. And I think just to wrap it up, you talk about an issue I think that affects a lot of people about being perfect. It's got to be perfect. Don't allow yourself for error. But that is problematic, isn't it?
I remember one of the activities we did when I was in coaching school was they gave us a sticker and they wrote the word failure on it. And we had to talk about how we felt about wearing the sticker. And it bothered me so much, I ripped it off. It's like, there's no failure. Like, I just want to work on being perfect. But, you know, over the years and through experience, I realized that, well, first of all, perfection is relative. Like, everybody sees perfection through a different lens. Mm-hmm. But also, when you fail, it helps you try again. It opens new doors. It forces your creativity. And often, like, when you have a low and you have a failure, you question things more and then you come back so much stronger. So let's stop, like, boo-hooing failure and, you know, celebrate failure.
Well, that's right. Well, we learned a lot, and your approach is fabulous.
It really is.
Thank you so much for weathering the storm and coming in and sharing some enlightening information with us. How can people get a hold of you?
You can go to my website, ceoofyour.life. I had mentioned the values exercise if you want to get clear on your values, which is one of the things towards becoming the CEO of your life. So you can get that at ceoofyour.life/values.
That's fantastic. Thank
Melissa,
you
Melissa,
so
thank you
much.
Very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Coming up right after the news, you absolutely don't want to miss our interview with Stanley Cup champion Theo Fleury. He holds nothing back as he talks with Matt about his troubled past, the trauma he experienced as a victim of sexual abuse, and his incredible advocacy work for those with mental illness, addiction, and trauma victims.
Live Fun Rehearsed on CJAD 800. Brought to you by Marco Vendramini of IG Private Wealth Management. MarcoVendramini.com.
Welcome back to Life Unrehearsed. I'm Corey Sirota, a grief, loss, and bereavement specialist, and I'm with Matt Delvecchio, free retirement home search and senior transition specialist.
Corey, as mentioned before the news, I had the opportunity to interview Theo Fleury. This was an interview done about a couple of weeks ago, and let's listen into that. All right, on the line we have Theo Fleury calling from his hometown of Calgary. Theo, welcome to Life Unrehearsed.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Theo, quite an NHL career, over 1,100 games if we include regular season and playoffs, 1,100 points, a little more than that. Stanley Cup champion in 1989. Regrettably, I have to say you hoisted that cup on the Montreal Forum ice. That hurt us for us Montrealers, but Stanley Cup champion, gold medal Olympic champion in 2002. But your life, Theo, was so much more than that. In 2009, you released an autobiography called Playing with Fire. It instantly became a bestseller, and the book was a tell-all documenting everything from your substance abuse and addiction, and revealed that you had been repeatedly sexually abused when you were a teenager by former hockey coach Graham James. I guess it's fair to say, Theo, you reached rock bottom in 2004 when you contemplated suicide, and I can't imagine your frame of mind at that time, but could you tell us about what happened in that very moment?
Well, I'd I'd obviously struggled with, you know, lots of mental health issues and, you know, addiction issues, and basically was at the end of my rope because I'd lived most of my life in emotional pain and suffering, and up until that point, I guess I tried everything on the planet I could to, you know, get rid of all this pain that I had been in, and I really didn't want to live in that kind of pain and suffering anymore. And so, you know, I went down to a local pawn shop in Santa Fe, New Mexico, where I was living at the time, and purchased a gun and some bullets and, you know, went home and put the gun on the coffee table, poured out a whole bunch of cocaine, grabbed a bottle of vodka, drank probably a third of the vodka, and chopped up a whole bunch of lines, snorted a bunch of lines, and sat back and sort of reflected on my life and all the good things that happened, all the horrible things that happened were like a movie playing in my head. And finally got up enough courage and grabbed the gun, loaded the gun, put the gun in my mouth, and still this movie was playing in my head. And, you know, right at the moment of truth, and it was time to pull the trigger and end my life, you know, this random thought came into my head, said, you know, you've never quit anything in your life. Why are you quitting now? And that was... that was the turning point, you know. I immediately took the gun and threw it into the desert and started this comeback in life and trying to figure things out.
We talk about that comeback in life, and we're talking with Theo Fleury, ex-NHLer, Stanley Cup champion, and now an advocate and motivational speaker for those suffering with mental illness, addiction, and trauma. Theo, if you look back in time, what were some of those major events for you to pick up the pieces and start fighting?
Well, I think the first thing I needed to do was to get sober. And you know, in September 18th, 2005 was the last time I had a drink or a drug. And that was the beginning, you know, to thinking clearly and starting to, you know, feel the actual feelings that I was feeling and then finding, you know, the right community and the right bunch of people to start having this conversation and I think the writing the book in 2009 was really the sort of the catalyst for all of it and it's been nothing but a self-seeking mission ever since then and through working with other people who struggle with, trauma, mental health, and addiction, I've really been able to, heal myself through that platform.
And let's talk about that book launch in 2009. You started a book tour. Something happened in Toronto at the book signing, and which was a bit of a revelation for you. Can you tell us about that?
Well, when I sat down to write the book, I wasn't going to talk about any of this stuff. I was just going to talk about my hockey career. And early on in the process, the lady that I was writing the book with, she, I trusted her and she made me feel safe. And 3 years later, we finished this book. I don't leave anything out. What was really kind of interesting was, 4 days before I was headed to Toronto to launch this book, like I was really apprehensive and I was afraid, I was scared because I didn't know how, the public was going to react to what was in the book. And not only that, I knew I was going to go do a whole bunch of media, and I knew that the only thing that the media would be interested in would be to, re-victimize me over and over again. And, And so basically I spent, you know, those four days before I went to Toronto on my computer researching everything I could find on the subject of sexual abuse, because I knew really nothing about it. And so when I got to Toronto, you know, I had a lot of information, and, you know, I wanted to get a story of hope and healing and recovery out to the masses. And, you know, I was able to accomplish that. And then the next thing was the first book signing. And, you know, I didn't have a whole lot of expectations. I didn't think that anybody was going to read the book. And so I show up at, you know, one of the biggest Indigo chapter store in all of Canada. And, you know, I walk through the front door and there's 400 people standing in line with my book. And I'm like, you know, what are all these people doing here? Why are they here? And, you know, and so I started signing books, and out of the corner of my eye, I spot this guy in line, and he's got my book clutched against his chest. His face is buried in the floor and he's walking really slow. And I sort of said to myself, you know, I wonder what's up with that guy. And so I follow him all the way in the line, and he gets to the front of the line, puts the book on the table, looks me in the eye, and says, "Me too." And, you know, that's, you know, the rest is, you know, sort of history. And you know, he was the guy that came to that book signing and delivered a spiritual message with two simple words that, you know, changed my life and gave me purpose. And you know, like I said, I haven't stopped since 2009, and that's 10 years ago. And you know, we've been able to inspire and provide hope and guidance, you know, to a whole generation of people who, you know, like I said, have had the same experiences as myself.
Well, it's Theo Fleury talking to us. And Theo, we're going to, if you don't mind, go head out for a quick traffic update. But when we come back and you talk about spreading the word, and that Me Too has turned from one person to thousands and half a million, I think over a million people you've mentioned. But, you know, I think people listening right now may be suffering from or know someone who's suffering from trauma, sexual abuse, physical abuse, or mental abuse, and they may tend to put it off. We'd like to hear from you of what you could recommend, what words of advice that you can do starting today. But let's first head to the CJAD Traffic Center.
Live Fun Rehearsed on CJAD 800. Brought to you by Marco Vendramini of IG Private Wealth Management. MarcoVendramini.com.
Don't you know I'm still standing better than
we're here with Theo Fleury, ex-NHLer, with over 1,100 games in the NHL, Stanley Cup champion, and Olympic gold medalist. Theo is now an advocate and motivational speaker for those suffering with mental illness, addiction, and trauma, including sexual abuse. I know, Theo, we didn't talk hockey at all, but in my research, a little-known fact of your NHL career, I had no idea. You won the NHL Plus Minus Award with a plus 48 in 90-91. Pretty impressive.
Well, that's what happens when you score 50 goals, I guess.
So. Well, good on you. Theo, just before traffic, I mentioned that we need to seek your advice. There are people suffering in silence. You see it every day. You're on the road more than 200 days a year, talking to people, guiding people. And it's either someone listening to us right now or more than likely someone you may know. And we say one day we'll get help, but it doesn't happen. So, Theo, what can you recommend to people starting today to get help?
Well, I think you know, it all starts with a realization that, you know, I can't live my life like this anymore. And, you know, it's causing damage in, you know, not only to myself, but to my relationships and the people that I'm close to, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I think the first step in the process is, you know, finding your voice and using your voice to talk about, you know, what happened to you, but that needs to happen in a very safe, vulnerable environment. And once you get to that point, then, you know, you just have to keep going and unpacking, you know, the layers of trauma that you've experienced in your life so that, you know, it's no longer a burden and it's no longer a secret. You know, we have this saying that, you know, you're only as sick as your secrets. And you know, there's no question that, you know, I was one of those people that was carrying around secrets. And, you know, I was sick physically, emotionally, spiritually, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, when I found my voice in 2009, you know, that's when, you know, I started down a path of, you know, understanding the trauma and, you know, unpacking the trauma and then getting to a place of, you know, compassion, vulnerability, forgiveness, you know, self-love, self-forgiveness, you know, all these wonderful things that, you know, we aren't taught or we don't even think about. And it was by doing the work that I'm doing that I ran into, you know, millions of people who shared this similar experience, and just by talking and sharing and being open and honest and like I said, vulnerable, was how I healed and continue to heal, you know. And so many people, you know, think that that you can be healed from something like this, and you know, I think there's no such word as healed when we choose a path of you know, self-discovery. It's a continuum for, you know, for the rest of our lives. And, you know, I often say, you know, I'm in therapy for the rest of my life, and I'm completely okay with that, because every time, you know, I enter into, you know, a healing relationship, that, you know, I just continue to get better and better. And you know, so it's, you know, it's not rocket science. It's about, you know, being in relationship with people that, you know, you can share this stuff with, and when you do that, that's when, you know, the continuum of healing happens.
We're talking with Theo Fleury, ex-NHLer, Stanley Cup champion, Olympic gold medalist, and now, as you hear, an advocate and motivational speaker for those suffering with mental illness, addiction, and trauma. I love the term unpacking the layers of trauma, Theo, because it's not a magic pill that's going to fix things. It's one at a time. And you talk about your days of sobriety, September 18th, 2005. That's over 13 years ago, and I believe you like not counting by years, but by the day. And I did a little calculation. Over 4,800 days this year in 2019, you'll reach 5,000 days. And why do you like doing it by days and not years?
Well, because, you know, I think the idea of healing is, you know, to live in the present and to live in the moment, you know, and when we do that, you know, I think life is a lot more easier and manageable, is that when we take it 24 hours at a time, you know, we don't think about the past, and we certainly don't dwell on the future, and it keeps us, you know, in a state of less anxiety, less depression, you know, et cetera, et cetera, when we just try to live, you know, moment to moment. And you know, so far, you know, that's worked for me. And so, you know, I think that, it's very difficult for a lot of people to, achieve sobriety one day at a time, because they either live in their past, which is what I did for the majority of my life, or continue to play the victim, the role of victim. And, you know, we get ourselves in a position to be overwhelmed, where we can't manage, you know, the anxiety or, you know, the depths of depression when we are in that space. And so, you know, breaking it down to, you know, second to second or moment to moment or 24 hours at a time, you know, for me has become the most effective way of, you know, living, you know, a sober life, a healthy life, is, you know, by just trying to be present as much as I'm, as mm-hmm. much as possible, mm-hmm. which is not, you know, an easy thing to do, but, yeah. you know, I have a daily routine now that, that, you know, like I said, has worked for, like you said, 4,800 days.
Hmm. Amazing. It really is. Theo, we're already out of time. I want to thank you so much for joining us on Life Unrehearsed. I don't know too many people that would personify the words Life Unrehearsed more than you. We want to thank you for your courage and inspiration, and could only wish you continued strength and perseverance in doing what you're doing to help others. Thanks again, Theo.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much as well. That was incredible, Matt. Really heartfelt. Mm-hmm. Next week on Life Unrehearsed, Tariq Rahman, author of The Camino Within, is going to teach us how to break out of our comfort zone to become successful.
And Bell Let's Talk Day is coming up. We're going to talk to mental health advocate Liz Wiener, who understands the challenges of living with a mental illness firsthand.